This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'd like to welcome everybody back. Hope you're having a great week as we head into the end of summer. A lot of wrap-up tournaments going on. I'm kind of involved in a few myself. Some final events that I'm participating in with my son as I wind up my own coaching career, and actually kind of looking forward to being on the other side of the fence. But before we start talking about some of that, let's make sure you know who we are, just in case you're just catching us for the first time. And for those of you that are subscribing and listening each week, thank you very much, as we appreciate it greatly. We're Youth Baseball Talk, and you can learn a whole lot about us at youthbaseballtalk.com. You can catch up on past episodes, check out some of the videos from some of our great contributors, and of course, check out some of our sponsors. We do a lot on Twitter. Really appreciate the response that we're getting on Twitter. We just keep increasing daily the number of people that are finding us and following us. Keep it up. We like to follow you back as well, especially if you're involved in this great game of baseball. At Podcast Baseball is our handle there. Facebook's a great way to exchange, especially videos and commentary, as you're not limited by the characters. So facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is always a great way to get some connection going there. And, of course, I love your emails. info@youthbaseballtalk.com. Again, I say it all the time. I like them whether you agree or disagree with some of the topics that we're and some of the things that we're talking about. So please keep them coming. The best way to stay up to date with the show, though, is to subscribe, and you do that by going to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet, and just click that subscribe button. Of course, we do appreciate the 5-star ratings and reviews that you guys give us from time to time. You know, makes us feel like we're earning your listenership. So on that note, I do want to thank everybody. I had posted some stuff. We were ranked number one on iTunes for amateur sports podcasts, and it meant a lot to me as it's funny, as people say, well, amateur sport, I'm like, well, that's what this is. We're talking about the amateur section of youth baseball. That's what these kids are. They're amateurs. That's what we are. We're amateurs. We're trying to do it better. We're trying to do it right. So I'm very proud of that category. So thank you so much, and I appreciate you guys and all your support. Again, just keep sharing the show with your friends. However it is you're sharing it, it's working, as we just continue to grow week by week. More and more people engaged, and more and more people listening to the show. The numbers don't lie. So thank you so much. And, of course, if you really want to help the show, if you're using Amazon at all, of course, I think it's the biggest one and everybody's using it, just make sure you go to youthbaseballtalk.com, find that Amazon banner on the right, click on it, do your shopping, cost you nothing extra, and we get a little bit of a referral. So really do appreciate it. And again, thanks again for everybody and everything you've done for the show to get us ranked on iTunes like that. Meant the world to me. You know, as something like that happens, I start thinking about the show and the amount of people that we're actually reaching. And I see the emails that come in, and I see the correspondence on Twitter and Facebook that we have with people. And I realize that the show truly is an avenue for people to learn. And again, not just for me, but I do have experiences and things like that I like sharing. And sometimes they're not great experiences. But the reach that the show has, especially from some of the great guests that we've had on, means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to you. One of the things that I really want to do, and that you're gonna start seeing more and more from me is, if we're gonna do this, I really want to do it, and I want to do it right. And one of the things that I'm very passionate about, and that I think that makes a lot of sense in this world, is, a lot of you people have seen the movie The Sandlot. You know, we're never going to be able to turn the clock back and go back in time, so to speak. But, you know, we can get that mentality going with our kids in the game of baseball. You know, I really want to challenge everybody out there to try to bring that back to your team, your club, your son, your daughter, whoever it may be. It can be done. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I think it's like everything in life. You start thinking, I'm just one guy. How do I do this? How do I get this going? And I got to be honest with you, blown away by a gentleman that followed me. I mean, I'm usually doing the following and people follow back. But when you have the opportunity to follow somebody that you really look up to and you admire for what they're doing, and then they follow you back, you're like, holy cow. And that happened to me 2 weeks ago. And the gentleman that did it, the guy's playing Major League Baseball right now. I mean, he's battling every day to try to carve out his career in the major leagues. He's, you know, 6-7 years in. He's made a name for himself. He's done some unbelievable things, but he's also doing unbelievable things in life. And one, and the connection between he and I was what he's trying to do for kids. And, you know, here's a guy, and I can't wait for you to hear more about him and what he does, but this is a guy that has taken who he is, basically, and where he is, and the opportunities that he's been given, and he wants to bring that Sandlot mentality back to kids. And I think when you hear from him, you're going to be so impressed. So, yes, very, very excited to welcome in Adam Rosales. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
Hey, I got to tell you, as I was mentioning beforehand, I've been doing this now for a little while, and I try to follow great things within the game of baseball through social media. It's such a great way to communicate. And very, very far and few between does someone that is actually involved at such a high level, like when it comes to social media, like follow you back. Like you can follow guys like yourself that are doing great things, but typically they don't follow you back because, you know, they can't follow everybody back. So it was an amazing thing. Like when you followed me back, I started like, okay, well, this is interesting. And then I started thinking it had to be somebody else. But then I looked and I checked out your Twitter site, which you're active on, which I think is great. And started learning a little bit more about you from the outside. Before, you know, we kind of share some of that kind of stuff, let's let the listeners know a little bit about you, because I think you got a great story. And I'm only somewhat familiar with how hard it is that you kind of are a Midwest guy, and yet here you are, you've carved out almost a 10-year career in the big leagues. Tell us a little bit about, where you got your start and kind of how you got where you are.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved baseball, you know, ever since I've been a kid, but obviously, growing up in the Midwest, you don't really have the facilities or like the environment, at least, to go play outside all the time. So I started, you know, challenging myself in my basement downstairs, you know, doing little challenges for myself. And kind of from there, you know, I got the opportunity to play at Western Michigan, still in the Midwest, you know, still cold weather, not the best opportunity or ideal opportunity for a baseball player that's seeking a professional career in baseball. But I went to Western Michigan because, you know, they told me I was going to have a good chance to start at Western Michigan. And I'm like, all right, I just want to keep playing baseball no matter what. I don't want to sit on the bench anywhere. So I'm just going to keep on playing. So I went to Western Michigan for 4 years. And that's where I started realizing, okay, I can keep progressing in this. You know, this is where it got more competitive, a lot more competitive. Big jump from high school to college. But I kind of embraced it, and I took that step forward, and then I got drafted after my senior year. I hadn't got drafted before. I didn't get drafted in high school. I didn't get drafted my junior year. Not until my senior year I got drafted by the Cincinnati Reds in the 12th round. And then I just wanted an opportunity, right? That's all I ever wanted, was just an opportunity to play Major League Baseball, because I'd always watch, you know, the Cubs growing up. And I always wanted to play on Wrigley Field. But, I got that opportunity, and I made the most of every day. I remember in Billings, Montana, just really being so focused and making, like, I couldn't believe it. I'm playing professional baseball. I'm getting paid to do this. This is crazy. And, you know, I just think with that attitude and the passion I have for baseball, I just kept on going and kept taking the steps forward and eventually accomplished my goal. I just wanted to play one day in the major leagues, but I've obviously been able to keep on challenging myself to become more than that. So,
well, it's an interesting path. I we only know what we see on the surface. And as I, you know, the more familiar I become with the path that young gentlemen and that are blessed to have the skill set and the mindset. I mean, it's such a complete thing
to have an opportunity. And sometimes you need a little luck and things like that. But for yourself, I mean, what an unusual path. I mean, you typically hear a lot of guys, you know, they get drafted out of high school, and then sometimes they get drafted in junior college, or they get drafted after their third year, their fourth. A lot of times after your fourth year, a lot of guys that weren't drafted before don't get drafted at all, but there's still great stories about guys signing contracts. What a testament maybe to what we talk about on this show, and that is it's such a late developing game. Was that kind of the year maybe where whether you physically blossomed, mentally blossomed? Was there something in particular about your game that took maybe that amount of time to get you to that point where, I mean, it's one thing to get drafted. It's another thing to get drafted in the 12th round.
Right, I know. I think I've always been an average player. Like, at every level I've gone up, I've never been, like, the superstar. There's always been somebody better than me who actually, that's how I got better. I always looked to that guy, and I'm like, how could I get better than him? And, yeah, I mean, to have that opportunity to get drafted in the 12th round was pretty remarkable to me as a senior sign. But I also had the scout that signed me was in my corner, Rick Sellers. I was actually his first player that he signed.
Wow.
Or got signed. Yeah, Rick Sellers, he was always around Western Michigan and kind of watching me, had an eye on me. He always liked me, the way I play the game. Because I have a different style, or a unique style of play, I guess. Just a lot of energy and I don't know, maybe it was just different. And he liked it.
Energy and fun?
That's, that's exactly how I try to keep it. I wasn't trying to...
Well, no, that's how I would describe you as a player. And I mean, what's amazing is I think to most people, they would think, well, what do you mean energy and fun? Doesn't everybody, I mean, you're playing baseball, doesn't everybody? And it's like, no. It's like, you know, what's funny is I always use Jim Edmonds from the Cardinals as an example. And so now I think Matt Holliday is a good example for that. I mean, these guys don't show a lot of emotion sometimes. And, you know, it's like as a fan, if a guy strikes out or if a guy makes an error, we want them to throw their hat or throw their helmet. But then when they do it, we say that they're being bad. You know, it's like, you know, the game is such a roller coaster of emotions. If you can get a guy that can kind of keep it even keeled, you know, he's kind of winning that battle. But then when you see a guy that goes out there that you can visibly see is so excited to be there and is having so much fun. And that was one of the things that I'm stalking you or something here, but like I said, I was really surprised when you started following what we were doing. So that's when I kind of started looking up and seeing kind of what was going on. And I was like, wow, this guy is got to be one of the hardest working guys in the major leagues. I mean, here's a guy, and, you know, I'm kind of going into now how we met. You know, here's a guy that's doing everything he can to carve out this major league career. And you don't have to look too terribly long at your history to realize that you've probably worked so hard in every day of your life just to even have this opportunity. And there's guys that are blessed with unbelievable size and talent that it almost seems like it's just handed to them. So here you are. I guarantee you've worked every day to get where you're at. Not that they haven't, but I you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that some guys just have to work harder. But yet you're doing other things outside of just doing this, which – I can't even comprehend, and it's like, how does this go on? But so you're doing all this, and then you decide, you know what, I want to do something with kids. So it looks to me like you've come up with a great thing called baseballutility.com. Tell us kind of how that was born, so to speak, and where it came from as far as your mindset.
Yeah, I've always wanted to find a way to give back to youth baseball because I didn't know how much that influenced me as a young kid and the opportunities that I was given. And just knowing that the platform that I have right now as a Major League Baseball player and how excited I would be if a Major League Baseball player reached out to me to help me, like kind of mentor me and try to help me improve my game. I'd just be beside myself. I wouldn't believe it. But yeah, baseballutility.com, we have some pro videos that I've done in the off season, you know, with a lot of good instruction, a lot of good tips. And then from these videos, there's drill challenges. There's 5 hitting challenges, 5 defensive challenges. And the players record themselves doing these challenges and they send me the video. And then I get to evaluate the video with like this checklist that I've made up. And then I send them the evaluation back. so that they can improve their – I give them a pro score, like almost like a scouting score just for fun.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
And they just – and they try to improve their score every time. So they keep sending me their videos, and I'm like, all right, you know, for the defensive drill, you got to make sure you keep your hands out in front of you or your wrist flat. This will help you improve. And then I give them a couple more points. But once they complete the challenges, I give them a couple incentives. I sign a baseball, personalize it, and ship it to their house, which a lot of kids have been really enjoying. You know, got a lot of good feedback from that. But
well, who doesn't want a signed baseball from a professional major league player, right?
I would have loved it when I was a kid. I know I would have.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And, you know, and I thought that was awesome, too, because, you know, again, we're back to, you know, when we first met and you're telling me all the stuff you're doing. I'm sitting here and, like, the very first, like I said, I go through all this and, so when you started following me, I'm thinking, okay, well, somebody's doing this for him. It's not him. And no, it's you. And then and then I check out Baseball Utility, and I look at these things you're doing. And you know what? If you love the game at all and you're involved in it, you can see why you're doing this. I mean, this isn't a publicity stunt for you. I mean, you truly care about this, and you're enjoying this. And if you follow you at all, and you should – believe me, if you're not following him, you need to. It's great stuff. And his Twitter handle is A Rosie, so it's AROSIE7. So that's Adam Rosales at A Rosie, AROSIE7.
And you can also do the at Baseball Utility. We have to.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, wait, that's Twitter. Sorry,
yeah,
that's
yeah, Twitter. Yeah, Twitter. I'm doing Twitter.
I apologize. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And, you know, and like I said, like today, I got on this morning, like I always do, and I knew we were doing this today, so I was like, I wonder what Adam's been up to. And the very first thing I see is a tweet that you sent out. Somebody else had sent it out, and it obviously was some great kids that you met when you were in Washington before a day game, and you're just out there on the field, and it looks like you're getting warmed up, and you just start playing catch with one of them in the stands. These kids all have these Harper jerseys on. And here you are playing catch with them in Washington, and they're having the time of their lives, which kind of leads me into the conversation you and I had earlier, and that's, you know, Major League Baseball spending all this money on how do we get kids more involved in baseball. Well, here's a good start, right? I mean, how many kids – now, I understand you can't do it every kid, but, I mean, sometimes I think kids feel disconnected from the game. I have my own opinion on that. I think free agency, while I understand it, I think it's really – I mean – the older fans are the ones that voice all their displeasure, right? Right. And they get all upset and they take it personal. But how does a kid handle that, right? I mean, you have to explain. I had to explain to my son when Albert Pujols left St. Louis why he would leave. You know what I mean? It's like yeah. I don't have a great answer for you other than, you know, $50 million. And, you know, they just kind of look at you like, you know, when a 10-year-old kid says, well, isn't $200 million enough? Well, how do you answer that, right? So it's like, okay, and Major League Baseball wants to know why kids are getting disconnected. Well, I hate to say this, and I understand that, you know, free agency is something they fought for, and you should have some control, but at the end of the day, it's like you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? So you got to figure that out. So if we're going to have this, then we have to find other ways, right, to connect with these young fans, and I know it's very important for Major League Baseball. So what's amazing is that they have guys, and I know there's more than yourself, but, you know, for the discussion, you know, right here, you've been doing some great things. And like I said, it starts with very simple little things like, you know, a big leaguer like yourself playing catch with a kid in the stands at the game, which by the way, I mean, this is what kills me. How long is it going to be before somebody comes and tells you can't do that because some kid might get hit with a baseball? I mean, common sense, right? Come on. Little things like that go a long way. I mean, has anybody ever said anything to you about this?
No, but I remember Kevin Kuzmanoff. He used to do the same thing. He'd just go out during BP, and there's always kids in the stands, and he would be playing catch with the kids, and they would – I forgot who told him, but they're like, you can't be doing that anymore. And actually, when I was playing with the kids in Washington, I think one kid missed it and, like, hit off his shoulder. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, so I'm like, oh, man. Like, I could just see that, like, a parent or somebody – stopping it and saying you can't do that anymore.
Well, we don't help ourselves sometimes, right?
I didn't even talk to the kids. I just got done taking ground balls, and one kid asked me, like, he just put up his hand and put up the ball in his hand and motioned to me that he was going to throw the ball to me. So I'm like, all right, come on, you know, throw the ball to me. And then all these kids started coming around.
Well, it's great though, right?
And I think, oh my gosh, it was awesome.
And I think some other guys are doing it. So I, you know, that's the thing about social media, right? It can create such a buzz, and some other guys have done it. So kids are on social media, right? And they see this, and they think to themselves, "I want to go to a park, and wouldn't it be cool if a player played catch with me today?" And then a kid actually goes, and it happens. And then, of course, just like happened here today, he sends it out. Now, to me, that is what Major League Baseball should want, right? Yeah. And it creates excitement in the game. There's other ways, though, and some of it – and listen, let me say this. For sure, I know that Major League Baseball, the Players Union, and a lot of players are doing a lot of unbelievable things within the community. I mean, I can't say enough. I see more of what goes on in St. Louis here. You know, these players – you know, they don't announce they're doing it, but you wind up seeing pictures of them spending time at local hospitals with kids.
Yeah.
They're donating money to fields and things like that. So it isn't that I don't think that players and the league are doing great things, but some of it, you know, is awesome. Some of it kind of goes under the radar. Some of it is done with a purpose. Some of it's just done for fun, and it goes a long way. You did something that I was reading about, and this is when I realized that you and I kind of had a connection, and this is kind of where I think it kind of grew from, was you were involved in a great event, and basically you just titled it in one of your blogs, the Sandlot Game. Tell us a little bit about that, because that, what you're getting ready to tell me is exactly what I think we need to get to within the game of youth baseball.
Yeah, I actually met a really nice lady in San Diego. Her son actually signed up for Baseball Utility and did the drill challenge and stuff. And I mentioned to her, I just simply mentioned, I'm like, could we get a couple of the kids out, go to a park nearby your guys' house and just get a couple of kids together and have a sandlot game? And she loved the idea. Like, she jumped on it. So she contacted a couple of kids, and there's about 15 kids that showed up at the park. So she set that up with one of the kids' teachers, one of her son's teachers, Laura Michaels, set it up as well. And we just showed up at the park. I didn't have to do anything, just play with the kids because the parent set it up. It was awesome. Just, you know, the parents loved it. The kids were just amazed, you know, that a San Diego Padre was out there playing with them. And, oh my gosh, just so much, so light, you know, there's no pressure of who's gonna fail, who's gonna win, who's gonna lose. And we kept score just to kind of keep it fun, but it was exciting. It was really cool. It was really refreshing, to say the least.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the, like, if you, and again, great website, baseballutility.com. If you go to the blog, you'll see the one that's Sandlot Game. Very simple. But the thing, when I, like, there's a couple pictures, and, you know, one of the things right away that I see, okay, is I see a whole bunch of kids, different sizes, okay, so we've probably got different ages, all wearing something different. Nobody's wearing a uniform, right? And one of the first things I see in here is that that you did a poor job of splitting up teams, right? And, you know, so the score was lopsided, the teams were uneven. And the reason I bring this up is because I've brought this concept up to people numerous times. And, of course, the cynical adult always says, okay, it's a great idea, but are a bunch of adults really going to drop their kids off with baseball bats and real baseballs? Right. And I'm always like, well, we did it. And did somebody get hit with a bat? Yeah. It happened. Did somebody get hit in the nose with a ball? Yeah, it happened. But, you know, we're all here to talk about it, right? I mean, it's part of life. It happens. And then it's like, okay, well, who's going to handle the disagreements? Who's going to divide up even teams? And it's like, nobody. They will. Yeah. We did it. I remember, you know, it's funny, when you start talking about it as an adult, you remember these conversations that I had as a young kid arguing with my friends over even teams, out or safe. But you know what? We figured it out. Isn't there a life lesson here besides just baseball?
I mean, that's a big life lesson. The way I see it, I mean, you can't put too much pressure on the game. The game itself is enjoyable, to get out on the dirt, to square up a baseball, to run around the bases, to make a diving play. I think that goes, it's like underrated now. For me, I mean, that's where all the gratitude lies, is in those simple aspects of the game. But now we're looking at winning. We're looking at stats. We're looking at what colleges we want to go to. And that's just all a big distraction to youth baseball.
Well, and again, I that's a great point. We need to remove the distractions, right? Let's get them out of the way and just let the kids play. And unfortunately, you know, listen, there's a lot of parents do a lot of great things for our kids, right? We do it. We do stuff, but sometimes we're the problem. You know, we need to get out of their way a little bit. But, you know, if the kid truly loves the game, just let him be the player he can be. If he wants help, if we want to help him be a better player and do those kind of stuff, that's okay too. Then go do it. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Right.
And it doesn't matter your age. I think what's cool on here is I'm looking through the thing, and you had kids of all ages. I mean, you had a really young kid out there, and then you got a kid that's a high school player, and you made him switch hit for safety reasons. I'm sitting here going, you know, kids of all ages.
And we had softball players out there as well.
Yeah, I'm seeing the picture with the two girls. I mean, what a great event.
That's all.
Well, I would love to see this happen in more cities, and I'm not sure how we do it, but, you know, I'm going to lay a big one on. If anybody could make this happen, it's you, Adam. I mean, there you go.
No pressure.
That on your plate too, right? But, no, seriously, I mean, imagine if this just happened occasionally in each and every town. I mean, what an opportunity. You know, what an interest, you know, an interest level that would bloom. I mean, I just think it's the purity of the game, the why we do it. You know, we just don't see it anymore. I've had so many guys sit in this chair next to me or on the phone on the other end like yourself that are at the higher levels of baseball that have seen it all, that have done it. They've seen the good, the bad. They live it. It's what they do for a living. And they all say the same thing. We got to get back to an unorganized system of baseball and just let kids play and quit organizing everything. And what you're doing, in my opinion, is what exactly needs to happen all over the country, all over the world, really, if we really want to get kids interested in baseball. So I applaud you for it. And, again, I don't know how you're doing it because, you know, I can't even imagine the pressure. A guy like yourself has pressure, but you don't show it because you love the game so much. But there is pressure. You're trying to stay in the big leagues for Pete's sakes, you know? I mean, do you ever feel like, man, I need to take a step back here? I mean, I'm trying to finish up a nice career here. I mean, do you ever feel a little overwhelmed?
You know what? Doing what I'm doing? No, I don't. I mean, yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of hard work that I'm putting into this, but I have passion for it, you know? And like we were talking the other day, you and I were talking, and we're talking about the Sandlot game that I put together and, you know, play with these kids. And I go to the park that same day to play the Giants. And who we face in Madison Bumgarner, right?
Right.
Probably the toughest pitcher, arguably, in the game.
Kershaw,
I would agree. But after I play with these young kids, I'm facing Madison Bumgarner, and I hit a home run off of him. And, like, it all kind of came full circle for me, like, giving back like that. And the time and energy that I'm putting into these, into the youth, into youth baseball, is only helping me, you know. And that's the best way I can sum it up.
Well, karma, it's real, it exists, right? I mean,
hey,
you got to start playing Sandlot games all the time, right?
That's what I feel. I was like, when's the next game?
Well, before we let you go here, I got a couple firsts I want to ask you about because I think anybody that knows you or gets to know you, especially through this interview, can, you know, your excitement and love just comes through the microphone, you know, comes right through the earphones all the way in. You know, it's infectious, really, to be honest with you. So you mentioned earlier that the one thing you always wanted to do was play at Wrigley Field. Do you remember the first time you did it?
Uh-huh. That was in 2009. It was actually awesome, awesome day. I didn't sleep the night before, really. I was in Louisville, got called up. My brothers were with me. I got called up from Louisville. I was playing for the Cincinnati Reds at the time.
Right.
And I fly into O'Hare. My mom and dad pick me up, and we just go right to Wrigley Field, right off the plane.
Now, is this your first big league game, too?
No, not my first big league game, no.
Okay.
First big league game was in 2008. But first time I went to Wrigley Field was 2009, and so my parents picked me up from the airport. I'm like, Mom and Dad, let's just go right to the field. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning. It's a 7 o'clock game. And it was just very memorable to walk. I'm like, Mom and Dad, let's go right to the field. Let's go on the field. Let's go touch the ivy. And it was really cool. I was waiting for somebody to kick me off the field. But They can't do that, I guess.
Well, I was saying they can't do that anymore. That's your workplace, right?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty cool story. My mom, I remember my mom would always take us to the Cubs games. My dad was always working. But my mom took us to a game, and we both remember this vividly. After one game, I never wanted to leave. I always wanted to stay at the field and kind of watch them clean up and see get the dirt all nice again and just be there at the field. And we're one of the last people standing there, nobody out there. Lights are off now. And I told my mom, Mom, I'm going to play out there one day. I pointed the shortstop. I said, I'm going to play out there one day. And my mom's like, okay, Adam, let's go. You're talking crazy now. No, but she believed in me. She's like, okay, Adam, all right. And it's just amazing that it happened.
What
and
a so story. It's just well, you know what's great about that story, honestly? And this is the thing. And we, you know, through our podcast, I mean, like, today we get an opportunity to talk to you, right? And you're playing at the highest level. You've done it. You've done what every kid that's listening to this podcast wants to do. You've had an opportunity to do what every coach now, there's a few probably, but I mean the numbers tell us it's not very many, probably always wanted to do what every parent wants for their kid, you know, sometimes a little too much, and that's fine. We talk about that too. But the reality of it is we say on here all the time that when a kid looks at you and says, I'm going to be on that field someday, I think too many times we let the cynical adult say, you're crazy, it's not going to happen. You know, I've always said, okay, I understand. I'm an adult. I have to know the reality of it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you tell a kid no, because what are you really telling him? You're telling him, you know, some things just aren't for you. No, who wants to live like that, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, can you imagine if your mom would have told you when you were a kid, sorry, Adam, I don't see it happening. Now, that may not have meant anything. I mean, maybe you just would have worked harder. Who knows? I mean,
yeah,
I don't have a great answer for that part of it. But it's like I've always said, okay, so what does that mean, that we may not make it? So should we practice half as hard? Should we should we give half as much effort? Should we care half as much? I mean, that's why I find that to be the one thing that bothers me the most, when cynical adult wants to say, well, it isn't like they're going to the major leagues. And every time I say the same thing. So does that, I'll say, well, you're probably right judging by the numbers, but does that mean we should only do this half-ass?
Right.
I'm just being
exactly.
honest, right?
Yeah.
Seriously. So I think it's
instead
great.
Of just enjoy the game.
Right.
Like really just be grateful. That's what I've always been, just so much passion for the game. And the results just kind of came. You know, I never worried about results. I never did as a kid. I do a little bit more now because I guess I'm more realistic as an adult and as a player. I wish I wasn't. I wish I was more idealistic like I was when I was a kid. But just enjoy the little things that the game brings. You know, just talking like this makes me want to go to the field right now.
That's amazing. I mean, I can guarantee you that most people, like, you know, you think about work, right? When you put in a long week and it's like, I really need to do something, but I don't want to go to the office. I mean, you know, a guy like yourself who's carving out this nice career in the big leagues, doing all this stuff you're doing and you know, just talking about it makes you want to go to the field and work. And again, I my only hope is, and obviously I don't know very many big leaguers, is that I hope there's a whole lot more people like Adam Rosales than there are. Unfortunately, some of the guys you see that come across on TV as you know, I think guys get a bad rap sometimes because of some of the things that happen on the field. I mean, I want to believe that everybody feels like you do, and I'm going to choose to do that, and I don't care if I'm wrong or not.
Well, I appreciate that. There's a lot of great guys in the major leagues. There really are. I mean, I haven't really had one bad teammate ever. They've all been hard workers, very professional, very good head on their shoulders. But yeah, obviously they express it different ways, but
well, what happens,
I've had solid teammates.
All right, so first game in the big leagues. When was it?
Yeah, it was August 9, 2008.
Where at?
We're in Cincinnati at
okay.
Great American Ballpark, and I get a pinch hit at bat, first pitch fastball, I get a hold of it, boom, going to right field, ball's flying out. I'm like, oh my, I'm thinking to myself, I just hit my First homer. First at bat. First pitch I've ever seen, and it's a home run. And then the guy catches it at the wall. It makes a nice catch against the wall. Oh, my gosh. That's the kind of career I'm going to have, huh?
Do you remember who was pitching?
Oh, man, I don't. I was a right-hander from the Astros. I should. I remember my first hit was off Sean Burnett with the when he was pitching for the Pirates. But
really? How long did it take you to get that hit?
Seven at-bats.
I guess you got the ball, right?
Yep. Got.
Where's it at?
It's at my parents' house right now.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can honestly say that as a dad coach, as a guy that loves baseball in general and really appreciates youth baseball, I appreciate you on so many levels, and I'm just getting to know you, and I know I'm excited. I know you and I have talked about coming up with some ideas and working together through Youth Baseball Talk and Baseball Utility and just yourself. I mean, you're giving of yourself. I mean, more than just Baseball Utility. Yeah. We've talked about some different ideas of how we can make this game fun for the kids and do some things, and I got to be honest with you. I'm still blown away that, you know, you're doing what you're doing and still talking about doing some of these other things. I can't thank you enough, A, for coming on the show, B, being who you are, C, sharing the energy and the love, because I think that's what it takes. Again, as I put on Twitter, it starts with playing catch with a kid in the stands. It starts with showing up at a baseball diamond when you know you got to go to work that night, and it's, who knows, it might be 100 degrees, and spending 2 hours in the dirt with a bunch of kids. Coming on a show and really opening up. I mean, sometimes I think big leaguers, and they I understand it, you know, we don't really see who they are for fear of them kind of opening up a little bit, but you obviously are not built that way. And when a guy like yourself comes on here, and we're so blessed to have all these young kids that listen to the show, coaches, parents, that are all looking for answers, they hear a guy like you come on, and I think it makes them believe again that this can be done the right way. So on so many levels, I thank you. I mean, I really do, and I look forward to our conversations. I know you and I are both committed to finding a way to work together and bring that love back to the game. So I can't thank you enough.
No, well, thank you, Jim. I mean, that means a lot for sure.
Well, I want everybody to make sure they check out baseballutility.com. Do the challenge. I mean, what a great thing. I mean, I'm like, somebody else has got to be doing this. There's no way he's looking at these videos, but it's you. I'm just shocked by that. But, you know, hey, here's your opportunity. You want to have a big leaguer break down your swing? Very simple. You know, baseballutility.com, hit the drill challenge. Great stuff. Heck, we didn't even get into the fact that you're doing some awesome podcasts. That's going to be for another day.
Yeah, we'll talk about those another day.
Yeah, I mean, great stuff. But well, who you got tonight?
We are we're in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I know it's a right-handed pitcher. Oh, it's goodness gracious. Stroman.
Oh, Sanchez was last night.
Yeah, Sanchez. He threw a heck of a game.
Yeah, he's pitching well. Yeah.
I saw the biggest home run I've ever seen off of. I forget who was pitching, but it was Alex Dickerson that hit. A moonshot. He hit it up. There's like five levels in Toronto, and he hit it on the fifth level of the stadium. Biggest home run I've ever seen, so it's kind of fun to watch.
I can just imagine you on the bench seeing things like that, because, I mean, you strike me as a guy that doesn't hold in emotion very well.
I wear my emotion on my sleeve, that's for sure.
Hey, you know what? I forgot. There was one thing I wanted to ask you, because as just a normal human being, okay, I got to ask this question. What is it like to play baseball in San Diego every day? I mean, everybody's always like, I want to live in San Diego, and you actually play baseball there for a living. I mean, is it as nice as you think it is?
It is. It really is. I'm trying to convince my wife to move to San Diego.
Really?
With our family. Yeah, I love it there. Man. Yeah, it's my kind of, you know, the outdoors. I love the outdoors.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ocean's right there, and it's a very clean city. People are very friendly. And obviously, I love playing for the Padres at the Petco Park.
Yeah,
it's just it's beautiful. Really cool opportunity.
All-Star game, just had it. I mean, probably a great buzz time for San Diego. That's good stuff. So,
yeah.
Well, I tell you what, from all of us here at Youth Baseball Talk and all of our listeners, you know, knowing them, and you know, we have such a great rapport with them, with back and forth, and they appreciate great things that are going on within the game of all baseball, not just youth baseball. So. I'm sure they're going to love you, appreciate you, and look forward to hearing more from you. So I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I know you need to probably get something to eat. I,
knowing you, you're probably heading to the ballpark here any minute. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, this is awesome to be on your show, and I look forward to talking to you guys too.
No, it's great stuff. So, you know, again, good luck tonight. Hopefully, karma will work again, and you spending some time with us will result in a maybe a big fly off our man Marcus Stroman. How's that sound?
That sounds great. That sounds really good.
All right, great stuff. That's Adam Rosales. What a just, you know, I'm still blown away that it's him, because like I said, I've done a lot of things, and there's a lot of guys that are either have been involved in the big leagues or are kind of still in it and doing some other things. And they have great people that help them kind of do some of the things they want to do. And, you know, for Adam to kind of be tackled, and he does have a little bit of a small group of I think some family he may have mentioned and friends that are kind of helping him get this venture up off the ground, but he's got great ideas. He's got big dreams for kids. And it is a give back, because at the end of the day, there's nothing in it for him right now. Other than, I think Adam's a guy, and you can hear it come across. He's a guy that probably feeds off of that, right? I mean, it's got to be hard. I mean, you know, to us, it's a game, and we think baseball players are robots, and it's not. I mean, just think about yourself and putting in 10, 12, 14-hour days with physical activity and doing it every day, and it and the mental grind. And we all talk about on the show that baseball is a game of failure. So imagine going out there every day and getting beat up, right, and trying to find a way to make all this work. And yet at the same time, you still care about how you got there, what's going on with the people that were just like you, and you're going to make a difference. So my hat's off to Adam. Again, I'm very excited. I'm humbled, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I'm humbled every day whenever I get any type of correspondence with you, the listener, and you say that something we did on here, and a lot of times it's not me, it's the guest, or a topic that helped you. And to be just blessed with a guy like Adam who says, hey, I like what you're doing. And I'm like, well, I like what you're doing. It's like, well, maybe we could work together. I don't know where we're going to go with this, because, you know, I'm still kind of pinching myself that a guy like Adam is interested in what we're doing. It tells me again that what we're doing is right. It does help sometimes to have some validation, because sometimes you may feel like you're bouncing your head off a wall. I'm sure you as a parent do. I'm sure you as a player do. You as a coach do. But know that if you keep banging your head against that wall, sometimes you'll break through. I think Adam's a great example of that, right? Midwest guy, just wants to play, wants an opportunity to play, go somewhere, just loves to play, going to let everything take care of itself. You know, and if you're a good player, I guarantee this, if you're a good player and you don't get drafted out of high school, you know, you might get that chip on your shoulder. You might, I'm going to work harder. And then you don't get drafted your first year eligible in college. I mean, that's the way it works, right? Some guys get drafted 2-3 times before they ever even get drafted or sign, right? Nothing. And then all of a sudden, he goes in the 12th round, and it's like, hey, I can do this. So great for him. It's an example of what we all can do with hard work. And, I, you know, again, I don't know where it's going, but I look forward to my time that I'll get to spend with Adam trying to somehow get our kids back involved in this wonderful game of baseball. Appreciate you guys listening to the interview with Adam. We're going to head to break. When we come back, of course, we're going to hear from everybody's favorite, Domingo Ayala, and his theory of baseball. We're going to check in with our good friends out of Chicago with ElitePaseball.tv, Justin Stone and the gang. St. Louis's own Rick Strickland with his Sandlot Recruitment Tip of the Week. And, of course, hoping you stay with us, and we'll see you on the field. See you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to GatewayDreamFields.com. That's GatewayDreamFields.com, or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Attention. Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hello, welcome back to the second half of Youth Baseball Talk. Appreciate you sticking with us through the break there. Of course, when we come back, everybody is primed and ready, usually, to hear from our good friend Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball. Want to thank the Pitch Hitter for their continued support in bringing you the Domingo segment each week. Make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com. Remember, that's one H, thepitchhitter.com. Just a tremendous device, training aid for your little guy. I'm telling you, biggest problem I see each and every week at the Ball Diamond is kids struggling to throw strikes at all ages, but it starts from a younger age. The Pitch Hitter will definitely do the job for you and your younger team. I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. I wish my team had one of these when they were 8, 9 years old. I can think of a few kids that definitely would have benefited from it for sure. But make sure you check out the Pitch Hitter today, thepitchhitter.com, bringing you Domingo each and every week. Without waiting any longer, let's bring in our man Domingo Ayala as he has an opinion on how to take a two-strike approach. Domingo, take it away.
Gracias, Jim. Thank you for having me, and thank you to the Pitch Hitter. Again, man, if you want to improve your game, you got to get the Pitch Hitter. Do yourself a favor. Today, I want to talk about the two-strike approach. Now, Jim, I don't even know what this is until I go to the game the other day, and I see a kid get to two strike, and Mr. Coach yell at him to get in his two-strike approach, and now he crashed down real low, choke up on the bat about 3.5 inches, and he swing at the bat like he's not even trying to hit it hard. I have a coach one time tell me, don't be afraid to fail. Well, let me tell you something, Jim. A two-strike approach like that is being afraid to fail. Yeah, it might be better to ground out to the shortstop or second base instead of a strikeout. But both of them are still outs. Why not you try to give yourself a chance to hit a double or a home run? Sammy Sosa strike out once again. You think anyone tell him to have a two-strike approach? No way. His two-strike approach is trying to hit another home run. And that's why he hits so many home runs. So next time Mr. Coach tells you to get in your two-strike approach and to crowd the play and to choke up on the bat and to just put the ball in play, just think about your future. Because in the end, it's the home run that's going to get you paid, not the 40 hopper to second base. That's all I got for today, Jim. Thanks for having me. And again, just remember, if you get to two-strike, it no means you have to give up. And don't forget, if you want to be big time, get the Pitch Hitter.
Good stuff as always, Domingo. If anybody was taking notes, that was definitely a good one. So, again, special thanks to the Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check them out, thepitchhitter.com. They do have their summer special going on, and if you're going to get one, now's the time. So that's thepitchhitter.com with one H. So special thanks to those guys over there. As I know everybody's enjoying the Domingo segment, and we couldn't do it without them. Another guy that everybody looks forward to hearing from every week is our good friend Justin Stone and his majestic corner tip of the week. Justin and his elitebaseball.tv is definitely one of the best things going, and if you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you do. elitebaseball.tv. Justin's down at the Perfect Game World Series, and I listened to his recording he sent in. I think you're going to enjoy it. These are some of the little things that guys that are out there looking at your son and daughter, what it's really all about, and the message that we need to get to them. So without waiting any longer, Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim. And this is Justin Stone of EliteBaseball.tv coming to you from the Majestic Coach's Corner. Right now, I'm down in Emerson, Georgia at the Perfect Game World Series, where we have a conglomeration of scouts that are looking at the most talented travel teams across the country. At each age group, Perfect Game invites the top 20 travel programs in the country to compete in the Ultimate World Series. What parents and players sometimes don't understand is what goes into becoming a recruitable prospect at the collegiate level. Of course, you have to be talented. There's a certain skill set that's involved in that, both with physical attributes of speed and strength and a baseball skill level. But at this level, where all the players are talented, players have to do something else in order to establish themselves as a prospect and take that extra jump or leap ahead of their competition. And these are things we call intangibles. I spent time as a Division I recruiting coordinator at Indiana State University. And I'm going to speak about some of those intangibles that I was looking for if I had a lot of players of equal ability. First, it was the way a player even warmed up. I was most critical of middle infielders because that's the position that I played. As a college coach, I would get there early and try to be as inconspicuous as possible. I wanted to see how players reacted when they thought nobody was watching them. I would stay in my recruiting car, and I would watch players warm up on the foul line and really hone in on the couple players I was looking for. There were times that I pulled into a parking lot and watched the player of interest warm up and leave before ever watching him in a game, being so disgusted about the way they approach the game and their warmups. As soon as you step out of the car and walk your way to the field, you hear the cliche of you're being evaluated from that moment on. But it's true. When I see players with lazy feet and lazy hands, that's not the type of player what I'm looking for in very high-end athletes where you have multiple good athletes to choose from. Number two, body language. Everybody fails in the game of baseball. If you have a player that's having a bad day, you're not the first player in the history of the game that's had that bad day. How do you react when things are going poorly? If I saw a player multiple times, I'd want to see a player have a bad day. I'd want to see a player fail. Because the higher you go in the game of baseball, the more adversity you're going to face. It gets tougher and tougher. Your ability to deal with failure says a lot about your character as an athlete. So the body language, when you're doing poorly, how do you carry yourself? I'm looking for the player that you can't tell if he's 0-for-4 or 4-for-4 in that game because of the way he carries himself. I talk to our own players about, you're having a bad day at the plate? Find a way to make up for it in the field, where you see those guys so often have a bad day at the plate and take it out to the field with them. Poor body language, they're still thinking about their at bat, and that snowballs into poor performance on the defensive side. Find a way to help your team when one facet or area of your game isn't going well that day. Extra effort, things of that nature. Find a way to get dirty. Find a way to make yourself stand out amongst all those players. So it goes to just talking the game, being an energy guy, hustling out to your position, being an energy guy on the field, talking amongst your players. What are you doing when the ball's not hit to you? And what are you doing between pitches? All of those things are things that I'm watching as an evaluator that goes well beyond your physical attributes of strength and speed, as well as your baseball skill set. So that's what players or coaches are looking for in players when they come to an event like this. I've seen the SEC coaches. I've talked to the ACC coaches. They're looking for physically talented players, but they're looking for that player that has the X factor. So as a player yourself, find a way to carry yourself the same way every day. Baseball is a game that is played every day at the professional level. 162 games means if you're at that level, you're playing with some sort of consistency. Find a way to be consistent in your approach to the game, your concentration level to the game, and your enthusiasm and energy, all controllable attributes when you may have a day that you're struggling with the physical aspect. So when I see players that several times, that's what I'm looking for, is that consistent key. So as I've talked to these college coaches throughout the week, they're looking for the exact same thing. Crossing guys off the list that oftentimes have very, very high physical attributes but can't pull together that intangible piece of the game. So talk about that to your players. The younger that you are and the conversation you may have between father and son, mother and son, mother and daughter on the softball side, father and daughter, include the intangible aspect to the game, because ultimately, if you're playing at the very highest level, that's going to be the separator that determines your fate in the game of baseball. This is Justin Stone from Elitebaseball.tv coming to you from the Majestic Coach's Corner. Until next week, we'll see you on the field.
Great stuff as always from our good friend Justin Stone. I hope his clubs do well down there in Atlanta. It's a privilege to be invited to something like that, very proud that he's part of this show and is recognized in that fashion. The other gentleman you hear from every week is also in Atlanta because his organization is also recognized as one of the tops in the country. So let's go over and hear from Rick Strickland and his blast motion, Rick Strickland swing rehab tip of the week. Rick, why don't you take it away?
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me back on the show this week. I'm down here in hot Atlanta for a 15U World Series, but I wanted to share with you this week some of the exciting events that we've got coming over in the Rick Strickland swing rehab lab. In August, late August, we're going to be running our first comprehensive boot camp for hitters, which basically focuses on a couple of the key areas of being a really good hitter. One is the athletic portion of it, how important it is to become a really good athlete. Two, how important it is to develop proper swing techniques. Three, how to develop and learn how to react and visualize and see pitches. Those are the things we're going to really, really focus on in this new program that we have here, using some of the outstanding technology that we've acquired over the last year or so, using the HitTrack simulator, using the blast motion. For those of you who don't know what blast is one of the hot new items I see out there on the market right now that's helping redefine how hitters train themselves. We'll be using that and helping people understand how to use that technology and how to be able to reach out to us in the future as they leave our boot camp, to be able to reach out to us and send us their data, and we can do corrective exercises to help them not only while they're with us, but also when they're away. That event's going to be August 19th, 20th at the Sandlot here in St. Louis. If you have any questions or concerns, you can reach out to us at 314-775-4953. That's my personal cell phone. Or you can send me an email at rick@sandlotelite.com. Thanks, Jim, for having me. Look forward to chatting with you next week.
Great stuff as always from our good friend Rick Strickland. I want to say again how proud I am to have two guys on the show each and every week that are running programs that are that well thought of. I mean, I think everybody's pretty familiar with Perfect Game and the quality of tournaments that they run, lots and lots of teams are involved in that, and they're down there battling all the time. But when you get invited to that top 20 like that, that's saying something about your organization. So my hat's off to both of those guys. And like I said, I hope everybody realizes how lucky we are that we have them on each and every week. And you get to just hear a little nugget of knowledge. And then, of course, you are always free to go check out both those guys' websites. So special thanks to them as well. I enjoyed the show this week. Again, I cannot tell you enough how much I think of Adam Rosales and the fact that, again, here's a major league guy. And, again, there's great guys all throughout the major leagues. They're doing tremendous things. It just so happens that he and I are kind of on the same page about where we see the game of youth baseball and where we think it should be. It's kind of funny to say that a movie is an inspiration for how we should be, but the movie The Sandlot does. It takes us back to another a time that we, in our age, we can remember back to what it was like then. Our kids, unfortunately, some of them, now not all, because we still have some great communities where this is happening, but, man, for some of us, it's just not happening like that anymore. And I think we can do it. I really do. I don't think it has to be exactly like it was then, but I think we can do it. You're going to see more of that stuff coming from me. My hope is that you're going to see it coming from Adam, too, and we're going to partner up on this thing, and we're really going to work this. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoy getting to know Adam a little bit and as much as you can for a guy that's dealing with that much as he tries to continue to progress within his major league career. But I sure hope you stay with us through this thing and jump in and become a part of what we're going to try to do, because I'm telling you, we're going to give it back to the kids. Another great quote from a movie, The Bad News Bears, when they were breaking training, was the "let them play." It's one of my favorite scenes in show when they try to get the kids off the field and the crowd starts chanting, "let them play." I love that, because that's what we need to do. We need to let them play. I'm just as guilty of it. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm not. I needed to do a better job of it over the years. I wish I would have. Now I'm almost done, but guess what? I'm going to bring it out to you, and I'm going to challenge you to do a better job than even I did, okay? Let them play. Take them out and let them play. We don't have to be overcoaching them all the time. So that's my message for you this week. I look forward to coming back next week with one of our Monday Morning Solution shows. Enjoy your weekend out at the baseball field, or if you're just having family time, whatever you're doing. But don't forget to instill that sandlot mentality in your little slugger. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.